This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes. And we continue today with a study in which we've been engaged for several times of the consideration of the question, which one shall you choose, Barabbas or Jesus? Now, you remember if you studied your Bible in John 18 and in Acts 3, that during the trial of Jesus, we have brought into that story a man named Barabbas who was a very evil man. He was guilty of murder, of insurrection, and of robbery. And Pilate, the Roman governor, in seeking to find a way to get Jesus to be set free, that is, in the face of the violence of the Jewish mob that was there crying out for his crucifixion, gave them the choice of releasing a prisoner, either Barabbas, this evil man, or Jesus, this perfectly good person, the Son of God. The Word had become flesh, had come to dwell among men that they might have an opportunity of being saved from their sins. And the Jewish leaders led the mob to cry out for Barabbas to be released rather than Jesus. Already we have studied the sins of the people who were there on that occasion. We have studied the sins of the Jewish leaders, and we've studied the sins of the Jewish multitude who cried out under the coercion of the Jewish leaders for Jesus to be crucified. Now let us look at the sin of the people, of people down through the ages from that time until the present time. And the Bible makes clear that we all have been guilty of sin, Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And as Isaiah the prophet looked down through the centuries by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said, "All we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned aside everyone unto his own way." Now let's think about the sin of people from the first century to the 20th century. When the early church preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, I have this very important question. Against whom did the Romans pass laws? Not against fornicators, not against liars, not against those who rejected the God of heaven, but against the followers of Jesus Christ. They made it actually a crime to be a Christian, to be a follower of Christ. And then many, following the usual way of human beings to turn away from the will of God, set up an earthly head of the church. Now, the Bible makes clear that Jesus Christ is the one and only head of the body. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, the Bible says, "And he gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Now, in the New Testament, we find no organization higher or greater than the local congregation, overseen by elders, overseen by a plurality of men known as elders, pastors, or bishops. But all of these men have authority in matters of expediency only in the local congregation. The elders of one congregation do not have authority over any other congregation. And yet we see set up here on the earth a hierarchy that results in one man in Rome allegedly being over the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, purchased by his blood. Followers of Jesus Christ do not recognize this kind of hierarchical setup. There is no such thing in the Bible as that. Every local church is independent, autonomous, self-ruling, as it were, under Jesus Christ. The church is the body of Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of that body. And every congregation is independent of every other congregation, though, of course, every congregation of God's people will have fellowship, Christian love and fellowship, with every other such congregation. But then we find that many in rebelling against that kind of setup turn to what is now known as Protestant denominationalism, again without biblical authority. No one, no mere man, has the right to set up a religious institution or to set up a way or plan of salvation. Jesus Christ and Christ alone has all authority in heaven and on earth. This he taught plainly in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. But our time is gone for today. We'll have to reserve until next time our detailed analysis of this particular matter. Until then, may God bless and keep you, is my sincere prayer.